Want to advertise your business in a cost-effective way? It's time to give podcast advertising a try. Research shows a high rate of podcast listeners made a purchase as a result of an ad they heard on a podcast. Visit podbean.com/brands to launch a cost-effective podcast advertising campaign in minutes. That's podbean.com/brands.
Welcome to Yolitics, the home of cold beer and hot takes on Texas politics.
All right, Wheeler, this is our last podcast of the year, man.
God, how did that get here so fast?
I'm glad 2020 is over, man. I'm done with that. I'm grateful that you guys have been listening so much, but I am done with this year.
Yeah, I think that probably most people who are listening are done with this year, and hopefully 2021 does bring some happier times, some vaccinated times, some normalcy again, and we hope that we find you well as we head into this holiday season here. Boy, it's been a busy year, though. I mean, here we are a day in. We have an electoral vote total now. It's official now that the Electoral College has voted for Joe Biden to be the next president of the country. After a lot of last-ditch efforts by President Trump to change that outcome. Of course, you know, we're still more than a month away, though, from the swearing-in, so who knows what we see between now and then.
And so to take us out of 2020, what beer are you having, man?
Oh, I forgot to bring my beer in here.
Forgot to bring your beer?
I forgot to bring my beer.
Let me tell you what I'm having. Yeah, go ahead, man. And let me tell you what I'm having in the meantime here.
Wait,
I'm having,
I want to see what you're having first.
I'm having the, and that's going to sway yours.
Yeah, that's going to determine.
I'm having the Deep Winter. It's a golden porter. It's brewed with cocoa nibs and coffee. It's from Deep Ellum Brewing Company because it's so cold like a outside.
That sounds like a way to wake up right there.
This is 7.3%.
Oh, that really sounds like a way to wake up. Okay.
This is breakfast, lunch, and dinner right here in the can.
I'll be right back.
Now, who doesn't prepare for this? I mean, Wheeler acts like that. Really, we haven't been doing this for a year. You shouldn't bring a beer to the podcast? I mean, come on. He was showing me up for weeks. Wheeler, I hope you're better prepared in 2021 than you are for this podcast.
See, I'm just going to blame this on 2020 that I thought I had that here. I did it differently than you. I have a coffee and a beer. You kind of combined it all into one there, it sounds like. And I'm having what am I having? I just grabbed one. I'm having a St. Arnold Fancy Lawnmower today.
Nice. That's like a summer beer, though, isn't it?
I don't know. I saw it and grabbed it. This is from, who makes this? I mean, it's from St. Arnold's.
St. Arnold,
where
right?
Is that? Where is that?
It's in the People's Republic of St. Arnold. I have no idea where it is. I've seen it for a long time.
Well, we should know this because they claim on the can here that they are Texas' oldest craft brewery.
How is it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Is wow, it? That's embarrassing.
Dude, you are an embarrassment this whole podcast. Let's just start over. Let's re-rack this and just start over. Take it from the top.
That's embarrassing.
How is it?
It is good. It is kind of summery now that you say it. And yeah, on the can here, they've got like a soccer ball and a horseshoe and a pink flamingo. So I think it is meant to be kind of a summery thing.
Well,
it's badminton dart.
A very birdie. Summery because I'm having a winter ale here. But it is fitting that you are drinking out of a green can because we have a green Republican on our podcast today. I got a call the other day and they said, hey, do you want to have Trammell Crow on? I'm like, heck yeah, Trammell Crow. Are you kidding me?
Wait. Where do you get these calls, first of all? Nobody calls me and says, hey, would you like to talk to this guy who is part of this family that has like $1.5 billion in assets? Nobody calls me and asks me if I want to talk to those people.
First step is you got to answer the phone, Wheeler. That's the first step you got to do.
That's where I'm missing it.
Exactly. So
missing all these billionaire calls.
Right. And you're talking to me instead, man. You need to up your game for 2021. So for those of you who don't know, Trammell Crow, his father, Trammell Crow Sr., he is created a real estate empire, a real estate development empire. So he had a couple of kids. He had Harlan Crow, who now runs the real estate aspect. And he had Trammell Escrow, who runs a number of things, including some real estate of his own. So Trammell Escrow is our guest today, a Dallas native, Texan, obviously, and he's a Republican. But unlike most Republicans, Mr. Trammell Escrow is a Green Republican, and he has he split with the GOP on several key issues right now, controversial issues, Jason.
And he is, and he's one of these guys who is not afraid to say what is on his mind. He is Texan through and through, because there's this, he's a character, we'll say that. And he's not afraid to level criticism. He is not afraid to pick up the phone and call Republicans who are in high places and let them know what he thinks, even, you know, especially if he disagrees with them. So it's not just Jason Whiteley he dials up. He's calling up all of these other people who are policymakers. He's calling up the power brokers and letting them know what he thinks. In fact, you know, as we talk to him, I won't be surprised if he has, you know, incoming calls back from some of them, and we'll see if he ends up taking those calls and letting us go.
Let's go ahead and get over to him now.
Hello.
Hey Trammell, how are you, sir?
Good. Nice to see you.
Hey, thanks for being here. I'm Jason, and my colleague Jason is here too, so it's easy to remember. Just say Jason
when
we respond.
Oh, no.
It doesn't get easier than that, though.
Trammell, let me ask you about the biggest issue out there right now when it comes to the environment. And that's climate change. And there is a stark divide between the two political parties on climate change. Democrats say we've got to address it immediately and take drastic action. Republicans on the other side say, you know, hey, this is just something that's it's cyclical with our planet. And my question to a lot of Republicans are you taking it seriously enough? Do you think the GOP is taking climate change seriously enough?
Oh, well, of course not. They had their heads in the sand. Many of them have been deniers, flat out. Many of them have repressed science. I'm a Republican. I get a lot of flack for it. And the oil industry over the years has spent 10 times more lobbying against it, or I would say, in addition to their disinformation campaign, 10 times more than the environmental groups have spent to further it. But Republicans were much more in accordance with climate change in the 70s and the 80s, when it really first became an issue. There was a sea change.
So how do you change that? You're an influential guy. How do you change that at the individual politician level?
Well, we work with folks like Lindsay. We work with some think tanks that are centrist or right of center in Washington. The majority of registered Republicans do not believe in serious man-made climate change at this time. But the majority of people who vote Republican, the vast majority of people who vote Republican do. Yale and George Mason universities have climate communication departments that really study it a lot. So we're down here in Texas, and that's one of the places where they don't. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Well, let me expand on that question. Do you ever call Senator Ted Cruz or John Cornyn, Senator Cornyn or Senator Graham and say, hey, come on, you know this isn't right, or you know, at least hear me out on this. Do you ever call them and try to bend their ear and change their mind on the climate?
Not the last one that you said, but Cornyn and Cruz, yes, and I've sat with them here at the House. With Cruz. He was between two Democrats when I sat with him, and as I recall, he was not denying climate change.
Yeah, well, Senator Cruz does not deny climate change. He just says that it's cyclical and that it's always happened on this planet. It's man-made is what the GOP, so many in the Republican Party say is not happening, that it would happen regardless.
I didn't recall that he still felt that way.
At least the last time I talked to him, that was what he said. Like when he was at your house there, I mean, was he taking it seriously? Was he entertaining it? Was he listening to you?
John Cornyn, absolutely.
John Cornyn just got six more years in the Senate, though. He's a very powerful figure in the Senate. Do you have high hopes that something might come from him, or that he might support something big as far as climate change goes?
I certainly do, and I believe he will, if it has the right incentives and without heavy-handed regulation. I don't. None of them are willing to talk about a carbon tax. But I've been in rooms, small rooms, with CEOs of oil companies who have pushed their fingers into the chest of the senators and said, "We want to know the rules. Give us a carbon tax."
Hmm. Wow. Do you see, Trammell, do you see any policies that the Trump administration implemented over the last 4 years being overturned or changed by Biden?
Yeah, many of them.
Really?
Certainly the COP talks. We have led in emission reductions. We haven't met our goals, but nobody else has. It's a complicated question. But the question should not be, why should we do anything if China's not, or if India's not, and they're making progress, you know?
You have been described as a green Republican, and you were all about the environment in a lot of circles before it was something cool to be for.
Which wasn't until very recently down here.
Yeah, Texas sat on the sidelines there a little bit compared to some other parts of the country for quite a while. What are your thoughts as a new administration takes over? You know, maybe it doesn't align with necessarily a lot of your politics, but you know, speaking environmentally, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's fantastic environmentally. I think that man caused climate change is a no-brainer. The extent, the degree, and especially what to do about it are good subjects of controversy. I believe in my Republican heart that the best ways to solve all these problems, and it's not just climate, you know, there'll be some wonderful species going extinct before we have severe climate problems, I think, that their best approach with free enterprise, with incentives. And there, of course, there have to be rules. And I hope that the Biden administration is moderate about those. The literal Green New Deal as espoused by AOC was, you know, a pile. But as an environmentalist, I really, really am greeting a great new day. There's a lot of cause for it. And whereas we've had wonderful entree into the Republican Party, we do in the Democratic Party, just by definition, right? It's an environment. So we'll be working closely with Department of Ag, Department of Interior, Department of Energy.
Tell us, working closely to do what specifically? What are some specific things you'd like to see President-elect Biden really work on, from agriculture, from energy, et cetera? What's your top five list or top three list?
Well, one of the most important things, I'm not a policy wonk at all, but it certainly is climate because of the urgency and the problems that are ahead of us. I happen to believe, and this is a contrarian attitude to typical environmentalists, that population is technically the source of the problems. I don't mean that human beings don't belong here, but I don't know if that will be dealt with. Innovation through Department of Energy, nuclear is extremely important, and environmental groups in the last few years have come around. You know, they used to be pro-nuclear, the environmental groups. So I think there'll be headway there. Sid Miller, the Ag Commissioner, that was the phone ringing a moment ago, has fantastic sustainable farming practices.
Trammell, was that the Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller calling you a moment ago when the phone rang?
Wow.
Did he leave you a voicemail?
Maybe.
What do you think it's going to take to sway the Republican Party to get on board with climate change and enact legislation that, might impact some of this?
It's a tough question.
Is it doable, do you think, that the GOP will take this seriously?
Oh, it's only a matter of time. If one believes that climate change is happening, if one believes that droughts are occurring, and if one wants to hypothecate that all this extreme weather is really a figment of climate, which I don't know, the scientists are really saying that yet, it'll be in their faces before long. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. Water will be the first thing. Mark Twain did not say, but is said to say, have said, liquor is for drinking and water's for fighting over.
I like that.
Trammell, I wanted to ask you, do you see a difference when, I mean, you have, you know, important people, powerful people calling your cell phone there just in the middle of this podcast. You have people over for dinner. Do you see a difference sometimes, a stark difference, when you talk to someone in elected office about climate change and get their thoughts about that, and then you see their legislative record or their voting record? Do you see stark differences between what you hear in private and what you see in public?
Sometimes, absolutely. Yes. Texas will go green. Texas is the energy capital. And of course, by far the wind power state. We will lead. It's only a matter of time. Shell with its great innovation, Conoco, I believe, the Austin Technology Incubator. There's a lot of things people just don't realize that are here. And the greatest economic opportunities and jobs will be in the green world, in my opinion.
And do you think that's going to take a long time?
No. And I don't know just what, but it won't be decades at all before Texas turns light green, guys. Texas is going to turn light green. I mean, we're great conservationists. I've been down in South Texas so many times with hunters and ranchers building water troughs for animals. So this hands-on conservation, we have a right to be proud of it. We have a right to be skeptical of armchair environmentalists, not that they're all that way. But when Texas turns light green, America's going to turn dark green.
What do you think about the climate now in Texas as far as businesses go? Haven't they started to step up, or are they not doing a great job with this?
Really have. I don't know which list it was or what the measure was, but a recent list said that Texas Instruments was overall the most sustainable corporation in America. Kimberly.
Dallas-based.
Wow. Yeah. Sustainable ranching and sustainable farming is something that people are appreciating more now. You know, it something like if we were all vegetarians, we could all drive Hummers. That's how important transportation agriculture is. So sustainable ranching and sustainable farming, I think, will, because of the increased awareness, be on the legislative slate.
Obviously, though, you know, we keep seeing divided government in D.C., and I think climate change arguably has been a Democratic issue, a Democratic priority for a long time. Maybe not so much with the GOP, although there are, you know, some elements in the party. How much do you reach out to influential Republicans, and what is the response back if you do? I know they take your call. Do you work the phones? Are you trying to move that?
At least once, unless I'm a donor. We've networked with the Republican congressmen and senators a great deal. And part of it has been with the guidance of Lindsey Graham on climate, and then the liberal senator, Sheldon Whitehouse, are kind of the two leads. And they have hosted for us about three dinners of a dozen congressmen or senators who sat next to each other and talked about climate, Republicans and Democrats. Sometimes Lindsey or Sheldon's had to bang his shoe on the table, but it really has worked. Hmm. I would worry. I didn't do any homework, and nobody told me where you all stand. But we're not on the air, are we?
We're only recording, so we're not.
Yeah. Oh, this is. This is it. Okay, I'm sorry.
This is it. A lot of people ask us. They're surprised too that this is actually it. But this really is it.
This is as professional as we get.
This is, yeah. We didn't do a lot of homework either, so let's stumble through this together.
Thanks for having me. I saw that movie Social Dilemma last night. Have you seen that or heard about that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a scary movie.
You know, there was a term in there, extreme center.
I don't remember that term, but yes, I think Jason is an extremist.
I think we're trying to be extreme center here, and then we just let the guest fill in the other corners.
Or make his own stupid mistakes.
Yeah, or that, or both.
Take us back and tell us how Trammell S. Crow became an environmentalist, a conservationist.
I have a very stock response.
Oh, don't give us stock. Give us something.
It's a great story. My brother went to military school in the eighth grade, and I was in the sixth, and he came home for Thanksgiving. Now, to about 2 years older than I, Harlan, who runs the company, and you can imagine how much I had missed him. And Thanksgiving seemed like forever. And it was a Norman Rockwell moment with the big brother in uniform coming home. As I was kind of looking up his pressed slacks with the stripe up the side, he taught me three words: politics, population, and environment. They were all new words to me. Now, by the way, Harlan proceeded to forget the second two words and is more involved politically than I. But actually, at that moment, the media was starting to cover environmental things. Things were going awry. You know, rivers hadn't started burning quite that time. But so seeing pictures in the Saturday Evening Post, that word became the most important cause in the world to me at that time.
Trammell, before we let you go, what do you want your legacy to be?
That I was a good man and I was a good father. It's in my work, it's not about legacy. I have my name on a new building down at Paul Quinn College, and I'm mighty proud. But the spirit of Earth Day was volunteerism and everybody.
So when it gets down to it, though, good man and good dad.
Hey, this is
something we all aspire to be. You know,
you guys are driving down Turtle Creek Boulevard, down by the theater center. Stop on by. I'd love to.
We might do that sometime. You never know. We might knock on your door. We'll let you get back and return that call to the ag commissioner there, since he called you during the middle of the podcast.
Thank you very
thanks
much.
So much. Thanks. Yeah, we appreciate the time.
Nice to
thank you, Trammell.
Nice to meet you, Jason. Bye, Jason.
Trammell S. Crowe there, guys. He is he's an eccentric guy, a fascinating guy, and he's generous with his time. We talked to him for quite a while there.
And I called it. He got calls, and we know who at least one of those calls was from, and he didn't let us go to take it.
Hey, we're moving up in the world, man. That's a good point.
Well, I mean, I've got Whiteley on the line with me here, so, you know, he wasn't going to let us go.
Never put me on hold, man, ever, for any reason. So as we move into 2021, let me ask you this, Jason. What's your resolution for this new year?
To make it as much unlike 2020 as possible. I never do resolutions. Do you actually do those?
No, I don't. But, you know,
I never do.
I mean, I was listening on the radio after I dropped my kid off at school today, and the radio host was talking about how 2020 was really a reset. I've heard that before. You know, mental reset, spiritual reset, all that type of stuff. And it really is. You know, for better or for worse, now you spend a lot more time around, family, neighbors. I've gotten to know, more folks on my street, walked the neighborhood and ridden bikes around the neighborhood a heck of a lot more. I hope some of those aspects, and I think they will carry on into 2021. But as far as the uncertainty and the virus and all that crap, I'm done.
It needs to go. I hate to admit this, because we do talk about how bad 2020 has been. It's, you know, kind of a joke now among a lot of people. There are some things I've really liked about the year, though.
Like?
You know, like things that you hope survive the pandemic. Well, like, and I hate to even say it out loud, because if you say it out loud, then somebody's going to hear it and mess it up. But like work, you know, like it changed. It's more flexible. I've never been more productive, I think, than now when I'm doing this weird hybrid thing where I'm in the office some, but I do some work from home, which I never did before. Yeah. And I think it works better. And I think a lot of people are in that boat. But you know that things are just going to reflexively probably go back to what they were back before it all started, once everything gets normal again.
I don't know, man. I hope they don't. And if our boss is listening to the program, yes.
I'm in trouble now.
No, I mean, dude, I've been...
You never want to let the boss know, though, that you really like a situation. Because don't you think that if they think you really, really like a situation, that there might be something wrong with that situation if you're that happy about it?
They'll put you back on the assembly line for, 10 hours a day then?
You're going to make this widget. You're going to stand right here. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, bosses want to see people. I get that. But I agree with you about productivity, man. It's just I feel a heck of a lot more productive in 2020 with this workflow. Now, it's weird. My wife just ran out of the room here a moment ago telling my five-year-old to be quiet because Daddy's recording a podcast. But other than that, I mean...
It takes a village to get the job done.
Absolutely, man. But I'm looking forward to the new year. Huge year politically. You know, not only with President-elect Biden to be sworn in a month from now, we'll also have a brand new legislature. And that starts at the first of the year.
And this is the year. This is going to be the year that we have redistricting again because of the new census. And there's going to be some fights over that. And we'll see, you know, how much of a battle Democrats can put up after Republicans did so well here in Texas in this last election. So it's going to be chock full of stuff this year, not to mention the politics that will be surrounding, and there's always politics with this kind of stuff, the politics that will be surrounding the vaccine delivery here in Texas, because it gets, you know, it gets political by its nature. That's where the decisions are made as to who gets it and when and how. And
yeah, no doubt. I'm in line for it whenever it's available to me.
I do have a resolution. I came up with a resolution.
You came up with one? It's the beer brought it out of you, right?
Yeah, I hate to make these because, you know, as you know, Jason, I'm always trying to improve, not just, you know, according to what the calendar says. But in 2021, I'm going to try to make my questions shorter in our conversations.
My friend, that will take more than 1 year to accomplish. For our longtime listeners, you might wonder why you don't hear Jason Whiteley very much in this podcast. I try to ask questions, but Wheeler will make a statement, then he'll ask a question, then he'll answer his question. And then I'll ask another question.
So aggrieved.
So for our guests in 2020, we apologize. This has been the Jason Wheeler Show. But we hope our guest in the next year will have some more airtime here.
I'm going to work on it.
Happy New Year to you, man.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Happy holidays, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we will see you in a better year, hopefully. First week of 2021, we're back on.